Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias and Troy Hall. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free.
Wherever you may be, that was Nike Van Wyck with his rendition, his September 11th rendition of the national anthem. Hey, Troy, what's happening?
Hey, I just want to tell you that I have been fighting procrastination day since Tuesday.
Oh,
that
me
is,
too.
That has been the big thing. So it's called fight procrastination day. That means do something. But I couldn't quite figure out what it was I wanted to do, so I've been procrastinating about doing it. So do you think maybe that's fighting it or not fighting it, huh?
I think you're good either way. Something I've been fighting is the procrastination to talk about September 11th for almost 9 years, and we're going to do that today on the show. Also joining us on the Radio Free Credit Union program, she is the marketing genius up at Truliant Federal Credit Union in North Carolina. Her name is Christina Brocato. Hey, Christina, how are you?
I'm great, Jason. How are you guys?
Oh, we're great. We're great. Another great show on tap for everybody listening. A big week. Very, very busy. We are doing a lot of Christmas music for credit unions out there this year. We're getting ready to go to Alaska. And, of course, Troy, as you know, this is the Friday that precedes the beginning of the National Football League.
You bet. Yeah. So,
wow. The studio audience is fired up today. They must be as excited as I am. I believe, and Christine, let me know what you think about this. I believe that the beginning of football season is the same as the kickoff to the Christmas retail season, the back-to-school season. I have not seen a Super Bowl commercial that has excited me in a long time. But when you watch football on this first Sunday of the season, you'll see a lot of great branding out there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I'm pretty excited.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, listen, we've got on the show today, we've got another contestant in the Q's Next Top Credit Union Executive Search. Her name is Amanda Thomas. We're going to talk about fantasy football. We're going to talk about the beginning of the National Football League season, which starts – well, it started last night. But, Troy, why do you suppose I didn't watch the game last night?
Probably because you were like me. You were involved in Thursday Night Lights at the local school here for Young and Free.
I was not involved in your Thursday Night Lights, but I was involved in Thursday Night Lights. My son's small private school played their first six-man football game last night, and I am pleased to report actually won their first game ever, 33-30. Pretty good. Where were you guys at last night in Charleston?
Well, actually, I was at home with my parents, but we did watch the presidential message.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. Thursday Night Lights, big initiative. We had a couple of emails last week, Troy, about the Thursday Night Lights advertising campaign, the Facebook stuff that you guys are doing. So great work you guys are doing out there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, Christina, do you have a favorite football team?
Well, we kind of tend to pick up our football teams based on where we've lived. For a while, back in the day when they were very, very good, we lived in Jacksonville, Florida, so we followed the Jaguars for a while.
They were good.
My husband's a Los Angeles boy, so even though the Raiders are now in Oakland, he's kind of stayed a Raiders fan.
All right, Raiders. I can respect Raider fan.
And then I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, so your choice is kind of the Redskins or the Ravens, but I'm a Ravens fan.
Oh, please.
What? What?
I cannot believe that. You were doing so well up until
then. Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you know this when we offered her the job to be the third coach?
I don't know. If
now,
this
if it
were Thursday.
Anything, I don't really follow them. You had to make a choice in Virginia.
But the Steelers are playing them on Sunday.
Well,
we better go to our guest. That I didn't know that. This was something. If you're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union show for the first time, Christina was brought on to be the thorn. What was it, Troy? The petal between two thorns.
No, she's the rose between two thorns.
The rose between two thorns. Tough talking, Troy, on one side, and Jason, I stepped on my tongue again on the other side, and we got Christina, this wonderful female voice of reason between us. But had I known she was a Baltimore Ravens fan, wow, that's – listen, we're going to go to a break, and we come back. We're going to talk about – I will bet you dimes to donuts in 2020, the National Football League will still be in business. I'm not sure about every credit union in this country right now, so we're going to talk about the future of credit unions with Amanda Thomas. She's from Ohio. Troy, you'll like that. And she's going to talk to us about what it takes to be the next top credit union executive, and we'll do it right after this. All right, you're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free, where the talk is hot, and the hosts are?
Hotter and cuter.
Hotter, cuter, and prettier, thanks to Christina. Hey, we're joined now by Amanda Thomas. She is vying to be the next top credit union executive. Hey, Amanda, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Amanda, you are now the fourth person, because we had Ronaldo Hardy last year. You are the fourth person that we've had on the radio program that is vying for the Q's next top credit union executive. I want to start by asking you the same question we've asked everybody else. Why should you be the next top credit union executive?
My first answer to that would be that I plan to stay in the credit union industry. I think that's most important. I think we need people in our industry who are passionate, who work tirelessly, who are willing to collaborate with others, share ideas, and ones that are committed to staying and seeing their projects through and seeing credit unions succeeding through.
Well, I do
a lot of work. I'm very diligent about surrounding myself with a really good team of people, which is actually what I'm going to be talking about in my next blog post about really how to be a good professional. I mean, I'm learning like everyone else, but I've learned a few things over the last few years that have really helped me and helped my credit union. And so I'm excited to continue writing that next blog post.
Very cool. Troy?
Yes. I was thinking about the while you were talking about when you said before about like how to be a good professional and getting that message out. So I guess you do a number of blogs and videos that you post in order to get people to respond to you.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So what are some of the messages that you are putting out in your blogs and your videos?
my blogs and videos currently are very focused on my project for the next top credit union exec. They're all supposed to be updates on your project, how you're going, things you've struggled with, just anything you really want to talk about surrounding your project. So I have focused on this culture standards project that we've instituted at Members First, which is what I believe is really going to ensure sustainable growth for us in the future. In my last blog post, I've talked a lot about the process of establishing our core values, which I think is one of the most important things that you need to do when you're talking about instituting a culture standards for your organization, having a culture for your organization. We've worked really hard on driving a culture here of innovation and collaboration and trust within the staff members and managers of the credit union. So really having that trust there, which is building a foundation for having a good culture. We're working mostly on internal things, which will then lead to external things as well. We've also talked about our successes so far, and we're trying to give winning strategies for our success. So my overall goal with both the videos and the blog post is really to target credit unions that are thinking about going down that culture road and providing a blueprint for them, saying, you know, this is what we've done, this is what we've learned, these are the things that we wish we would have done differently. So if another credit union is looking to do it, they have the structure there. I mean, culture is very, very, very personal. It should be personal to your credit union. Our core values aren't the same as another credit union's core values, and our staff members aren't the same as other staff members at other credit unions because it's all individualized. So really creating a blueprint and a formula with success, and I think adding in all that human element is really important when you're talking about something like that's written down in a marketing plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Well, Christina also has a question for you. Christina, what would you ask Amanda as the next top potential credit union executive?
Well, what I would ask Amanda is if you were made the CEO of a credit union today, what would be your first order of business on Monday morning?
That's a tough question. I've been thinking about it. I think really if I were made CEO of my credit union, which I'm planning on hopefully being in that position someday, my first order of business would be to set the groundwork for continued excellence. I was reading a quote by John Maxwell this week, and he said, "We create a mindset of excellence in our businesses, our sports teams, our churches, and our homes, not merely by demanding excellence or preaching excellence, but by modeling excellence." Our CEO here, Greg Kidwell, has done a very good job of setting this standard for us here at Members First. My biggest goal in attaining that position would be to continue that tradition while also continuing to look forward, take risks, collaborate openly with other credit unions, and continue to see the challenges that our industry faces as opportunities instead of shut doors or shut windows and having to scramble to come up with a plan to get around that. We see those challenges as opportunities.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
And those are very, very strong commentary, you know, for specific action. Although it gives us a flavor for you. And Amanda, we really appreciate you being with us today. And you know, some of the things that I heard you talk about in moving toward this position of Q's next top executive is focusing on how to be a good professional. And while you're focusing in that particular area, you've started with a cultural values and with the core values for the culture and creating some cultural standards. And it sounds exciting that what you're providing in your blogs and your videos is a structure and a blueprint of what works and what doesn't work. We can all take giveaways and takeaways from that. I really think that when you talked about creating a mindset of modeling excellence and taking risks and collaboration, you fall right into the category of someone who is trying to transition and be a transformational leader in that regard. So good luck to you in your quest for this. I hope this works out. And so before you leave, though, you got to tell everybody who's listening how exactly do they what happens when they listen to the video or the blog? Do they vote for you? What happens in that regard?
Well, the voting actually happens. They decide who wins. It's 50% of the overall score is based on what the judging panel out in Las Vegas, and I think that day is Tuesday, November 8th.
Yep.
So 50% of your overall score is by the judges, And then 25% is the online vote. So I will be contacting everyone in my network, social media, Facebook, email, friends, family, friends of friends, to be able to go online and do the online vote. And then there's also 25% of the score is the live audience vote. So it's kind of an American Idol type thing where you vote for your favorite contestant. The people in the audience at the Q's seminar that we'll be at will be voting for their favorite candidate as well.
Well, listen, it sounds like you've got a great set of ideas and values for your credit union. I think it's interesting that you're talking about maybe being the president of your credit union someday, kind of thinking ahead. And we want to wish you, on behalf of everybody here, our audience and the hosts here at the Ready for Credit Union Show, the best of luck to you. And if you do, in fact, win, we hope you'll come back and tell us about your experience.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, and I certainly will. I appreciate the opportunity.
You have a great, great weekend, Amanda.
Thank you. You too.
Goodbye.
All right, that's Amanda Thomas. She is vying for the next top credit union executive. You can find out about her online. Go to the Q site. She's all over the place. She's on Twitter. She's on Facebook. She's everywhere. Hey, Troy, when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about fantasy football. That's a big deal now, isn't it?
You bet. Absolutely.
We'll do it right after this.
You're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show on blogtalkradio.com. Call in live to talk. 646-915-9274.
All right, you're back on Radio Free Football Friday. We are starting the NFL season this Sunday. Troy, you and I talked earlier this week, and you were talking about fantasy football. For the record, I have never participated in a fantasy football league because I cannot bring myself to root for other teams and other players. I wake up every Sunday in the fall hoping that Tom Brady suffers a season-ending injury. So I just can't get into fantasy football.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. So here's the take on the fantasy football is I got this idea that everyone spends so much time on creating fantasy footballs and teams. And so they actually were thinking about trading this person, blah, 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 whatever. So I thought about that and go, well, do people really put together a fantasy financial team? So there's a little relationship here between that. So I'm going like, so if they did, would they pick all of them from the same organization? So, for instance, if you are a true credit union supporter, would your fantasy financial team be from the same credit union? Or would you pick them from different people, just like what you explained before, the way fantasy football works? And right. What I would like to think is that most of us would pick from the same institution, that we would pick our financial services and fantasy team and say, you know, we got the best people here and we do this, because I liken it to the 1974 Pittsburgh Steelers football team,
yep.
Which is, by the way, the best of all time. Now, I know there are a lot of folks out there who are going to want to point fingers and say, what about Tom Brady? What about Emmitt Smith? What about Jerry Rice? Well, guess what? They are all good in their own individual rights, but here's the difference. They are all from different teams. The 1974 Steeler fantasy football team actually scored more points as an entire team going from every offensive scoring position down the line.
Right.
And even those, some of those defensive positions that score also. So it holds the record. So for 37 years. And I have a link, by the way, on my Facebook, on my blog here at the credit union that you can go back and look at the stats that I did not make up.
Yep. Yeah. This was actually the first year that I thought about football. I know, Christina, do you remember a show called Mary Tyler Moore?
I know of it, but remember it? No.
Troy, you remember Mary Tyler Moore, right?
Let me think. Mary Tyler Moore.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Yes, well, of course. You know how old I am.
I know. Troy is 50-something, but probably in the best shape of anybody in the known world. I am 43, and Christina, I think, is about 19 years old based upon her talking about New Kids on the Block before the show.
Oh, you know you're not supposed to ask a lady her age.
I'm not asking you. I'm just saying you're young. And before the show,
young
we were
30s is what I'll tell you.
You look a lot younger than that. But when I was watching TV like we did in the 1970s, Saturday night was Bob Newhart, The Jeffersons, Carol Burnett, and Mary Tyler Moore. And on the show, Mary Tyler Moore, the show is actually based in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And on the show, the premise of the show was that the Vikings won the Super Bowl. They beat the Steelers. And I remember at the very, very end of the show during the credits, Mary Tyler Moore, the actress, coming on and saying, and if by some chance the Steelers win the Super Bowl tomorrow, please accept our apologies, blah, blah, blah. And I just remember I remember that as one of my memories. And I've been a Steelers fan ever since the following Super Bowl year, which was Super Bowl X in 1976 when they beat the Cowboys. So I would agree with you, Troy. I think if credit union marketers want to do their job this weekend, they will tune in to the Fox and the CBS and the ESPN and the NBC broadcast of NFL football, because the people that you see advertising for these games on Sunday will be the same people you see advertising in 2020. You're probably going to see Apple. You're going to see Southwest Airlines everywhere. But what I want you to pay attention to are the brokerage houses, the banks. I bet I don't see a single credit union ad on Sunday unless it's Navy Federal Credit Union. What do you think, Troy? What should we be looking for as a marketers on Sunday?
Well, I would look specifically at those brands that you compete against, and I would see how they're positioning their brand for your marketplace, because it is a wide-reaching demographic, the NFL, as far as all generations. And so you really just want to pay attention to that. I mean, it's nice to pay attention to the Dorito commercial, which I think I technically love to death, you know, when they do them for the Super Bowl. But just your everyday, pay attention to, in these games that are being broadcast locally, who is out there advertising and what they're doing. And even going beyond that, I want to mention State Farm is now advertising their State Farm Bank. And so for all of those folks who happen to be State Farm clients, they are now receiving information directly to their doorstep, actually saying, here's another reason why you want to choose us, not only as your insurance provider, but also now as your financial provider. And we're going to do some really great things for you.
Christina, I want to tell you a secret that I've never told anybody. All right. This week, I've had three phone calls from potential clients. One was a credit union, CUSO. One was a credit union. The other was State Farm.
Oh, wow.
The local State Farm guy, if you live in a city that has State Farm people, you know they put a lot of emphasis on the personality of the brand. They show the picture of the agent. They put it on their trucks. They put it on their signs. And all. It's all about, you know, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And so we've got some concerts going off in October, September, and November. And this guy found out that we're doing a concert at my son's school, and he shares a office complex with what they call now a magnet school. It's like a special high school for kids that aren't going to one of the big district high schools or one of the private schools. And he's like, I would love to host a concert for these kids, because he sees the value of getting the attention of 30 or 40 kids who are going to need, oh, by the way, car insurance, mortgage insurance, health insurance, life insurance. And Troy, I thought that was very interesting, because we didn't talk about this before the show.
No, I mean, it was just something that came up as I was thinking about, you know, who are the competition? Who do you pay attention to? Because our competition conversations at the credit union have morphed in the last 10 years. I mean, I will tell you now, we do consider credit unions in a vein of competition. But I have to tell you that it's not this – I don't think we really think of any of our competition as, oh, those dirty scoundrels, how are they doing that?
Exactly.
We think of them as, well, what are they doing that would be innovative or that will do it? Because the reality is, if you don't think – if you right now are as naive to believe that you don't compete against other credit unions for market share, then you have obviously – fallen into some bucket, because especially with community-based credit unions.
Sure.
And it's even worse for those credit unions who are select employer group today, because they, although they have a captive market, some of those select employer group companies are no longer supporting those credit unions to the same tune as the way they were doing before. And so now it means overhead is an issue, expenses are an issue, locations are an issue, and they have to deal with a lot more complex issues that basically they didn't have to deal with before.
Well, it is a very, very different marketplace, and State Farm is one of those companies, and I'm glad you brought them up, Troy. I guarantee you, you will see them advertising big time on Sunday. And again, like I said earlier, this is the starting gun for the Christmas retail shopping season, the back-to-school retail season. It's just a special time of the year when everyone is focused on their televisions, on their radios, on their Facebook fan pages. Football is the new national pastime of America. And if you don't believe that, you have not been paying attention. You are, as Troy said, you're in a bucket somewhere. Hey, listen, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Troy and Christina, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor and just let me talk a little bit about my experience with September 11th and what it's meant to me as a professional speaker traveling around the country ever since it occurred. And we'll do it right after this. All right, you're back on the Ready for Credit Union Show. Real quick, before we close out the show, Christina, do you remember where you were on September 11th? It was a Tuesday.
I absolutely do remember where I was at. My husband and I were living in California at the time, and so it was about 6:30 in the morning, maybe 6 a.m., and so we had the radio on listening to the news, and the announcement of the plane hitting the first tower came through, and my husband and I immediately went to the living room to turn on the TV and see what was going on, and we're sitting there watching it all unfold as the airplane hit the second tower.
Right.
So,
did you Facebook anything that day?
No, I did not Facebook anything.
I didn't. And Troy, what about you? Do you remember where you were on September 11th?
I was pulling into the credit union, and that morning there was a bunch of commotion when I walked through the door, and people were scuttling about discussing, you know, the plane had hit the tower, and the second plane had not hit yet. And then it was just basically mesmerizing. And for me, it brought back the memories of the shuttle disaster and the explosion of the shuttle and where we were when we were watching
Challenger.
That.
Yep, Challenger.
And, yeah, the Challenger, right. And so it's kind of interesting how television has brought to the forefront a whole new level of communication and a whole new level of connectivity that realistically we did not have before. And it was very painful because it was every radio show or television show wanted to talk about it, wanted to show it, wanted to provide this, wanted to provide that. It's kind of like I'm just a little upset at the magazines that want to put the kids' pictures on it as a remembrance, and I really can't get behind that at all.
I can't either. Okay, so, you know, I'm going to tell y'all where I was on September 11th. I was driving. In those days, I did not work from home. I worked for a company called Electronic Data Systems, Ross Perot's company. I was in what was called the CUIG, the Credit Union Industry Group. And I basically sold internet banking and bill pay services to credit unions in Texas and other parts of the southern part of the United States. And I was driving my son to school, the only 18 months or so that he went to, like a daycare, every other time he's been with me at home. And my wife called me. And I answered the phone on an old little Motorola flip phone, no internet on it, no camera on it. And she said, something's happening. I had been listening to a sports talk radio show, and 760 AM, San Antonio, and they talked about a plane hitting the building, and I thought it was a small private plane. And the hosts were talking about a game tonight with Roger Clemens and how nobody was going to care about this airplane stuff. And I did not – and so I turned off the radio to talk to my wife. I missed the second plane hitting the second tower. I was telling my wife, hey, look, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay. Just – something's going on here. The fact that the Pentagon had been hit kind of got my attention up. And I knew immediately who it was. I had been stationed in wartime in Saudi Arabia. I knew it was going to be people from Saudi Arabia. I knew it was going to be Muslim activists or terrorists or whatever. And I remember, you know, the first thing I thought of was, now you've hit me close to home. I've tolerated you guys since 1972 at the Olympics. I tolerated you with Pan Am, you know, 103 or 101, whatever the Pan Am flight was over Lockerbie, Scotland. I've tolerated you guys kind of nipping away at the edges, low these many years, but that this was different. I'm in the car with my son, and you just turned sort of a Christmas Eve, Easter Sunday Christian into a stone-cold zealot. and it erased all my preconceived notions about political correctness and diversity training. And I'm going to tell you, I gave my first speech on September 11th, 2002, a CUNA event up in Austin, Texas. And I didn't talk about it that day because I didn't know how to integrate it. It was my first speech. I had a whopping crowd of six people. I only had 30 minutes. All I had time to do was what my employer sent me to do. And it set off a standard for me that I was not going to talk about September 11th in my speeches. But what I want everybody to know now is that I'm not going to watch shows on Sunday. I'm not going to get into all the emotional stuff until things go the way I think they should. I'm going to be what I've been since that day. I'm angry. And you probably see it come out sometimes in the way I interact with people that I think are touchy-feely, all these coexist bumper sticker types. I don't have any patience for that. I believe we live in the greatest country on earth. There are only two nations in the – if you've got a globe, if you've got a map, if you've got Google Earth, take a look at the globe. All the countries, all the trillions of people that have lived on it since the history of the world, only two countries have begun their identity, their nationality, based upon a covenant with the Almighty. Israel is one, the United States is the other. And when that happened, that Tuesday morning, a beautiful Tuesday morning, my windows were down. We were listening to silly songs on the radio. My son was giggling and chewing on his sock. And when all of that started to happen, I said to myself, now it's personal. Now you've turned me into somebody that you will forever think of as your greatest enemy. I am a veteran. I am a combat veteran. But most of all, I am a father. I am a husband. I am a Christian. And I'm an American. And this Sunday, I'm going to be thinking about America. I'm going to be thinking about the freedom I have every single week to come to this microphone and talk to you about my thoughts and ruminations about the credit union marketplace. And I'm going to be glad we have that opportunity because it is unique in our world. And the one thing they didn't do on September 11th was change that fact. My name is Jason Dias. You're listening to bonus coverage of the Radio Free Credit Union show. On behalf of myself, Troy Hall, from South Carolina Federal Credit Union, Christina Bricado, from Truliant Federal Credit Union, we wish you a fond and affectionate good weekend, and we will see you here next Friday, where the talk is hot and the hosts are hotter. God bless America. God bless all of you. Have a great weekend.